for the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 and verses 20, respectively. The invitation, at its most basic level, is exactly that, a plea to the lost to be reconciled to God. In a congregation of this size, in any congregation of this size, there are some in the audience. At an age of moral and spiritual accountability, who, for one reason or another, have not yet submitted to water baptism. And according to the scripture, the state of the unbaptized is profoundly depressing and even terrifying. With what little time we have, I want to briefly look at the condition of those who have not yet put on Christ in baptism. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If this scripture is true, which it is, then being baptized forgives you of your sins. Therefore, it must logically follow that without baptism, there is no repentance or forgiveness of sins. Acts 22:16, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins," calling on his name. Again, if it is true that what the scripture says is true, which it is, then baptism washes away your sins, and it must logically follow that without being baptized, you are still in your sins. Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 9. "How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him." So if this scripture is true, which it is, then baptism is the mechanism by which we remain in contact with the saving power of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And it must logically follow that those who are not baptized are still dead in their sins, and they have not yet obtained that new life. They are still a slave to sin, and therefore alienated from God, and will not inherit the kingdom. There is no hope for those who have not been baptized after death. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he may bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. If 1 Peter 3:18 through 22 is true, which it is, And if we take it at face value, using the most obvious and reasonable interpretation, it stands to reason that without baptism, there is no salvation. In Acts 8:36, the eunuch asked, what hindered him from being baptized? And that's the very same question that all of the unsaved must ask themselves at this moment. What hinders you? For any right-thinking person, the truth about baptism is abundantly clear. Therefore, the only logical conclusion is that those who have not been baptized either do not care about salvation or think they can somehow sneak into heaven without it. For those who give no thought about salvation, consider the words of Paul in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in which he says that the Lord will deal retribution to those who obey not his gospel, and in flaming fire, no less. And to those who think they can get into heaven without fulfilling the clear and specific requirements of the Lord, I want to leave you with this parable of Jesus. If you want to, you can turn to Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, but they weren't willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you can find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. If what Jesus said is true, and it is, then no one is sneaking to the wedding feast without the proper garments. No one will enter into heaven unless they have, as Paul states in Galatians 3:27, put on Christ in baptism. To those who may still doubt the overwhelming necessity and urgency of water baptism, let me ask this. Will any of us be able to enter heaven without having been clothed with Christ? I submit to you tonight that the refusal to put on Christ in baptism is both the height of foolishness and is eternally dangerous. So to borrow the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians, we say these things not to be mean, but knowing the terror of the Lord, we seek to persuade you. Your family and your friends and all of us here who love you in your soul, we plead with you, be reconciled to God.